It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. President Trump is in Tokyo today, near the start of a 12-day, five-country swing across Asia. The president heads to South Korea on Tuesday, then China, then Vietnam, and then the Philippines at the end of the trip. Now, there's a lot at stake here for the United States. Already, the president has urged Japan to build more cars in the United States. He'll also discuss trade with South Korea and China. But it's North Korea and security that hangs over much of this presidential trip.
No one, no dictator, no regime, and no nation should underestimate ever American resolve. Every once in a while in the past, they underestimated us. It was not pleasant for them, was it?
Let's get right to it with Catherine Moon, political science professor at Wellesley College and Asia expert, and a non-resident senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Catherine, thanks for being here.
Hello.
There are five countries and a lot of different agendas on this trip. But as I mentioned, it seems like how to resolve the crisis with North Korea has to be sort of in the background of all these discussions.
In order to get cooperation on North Korea, he has to deal with his own agenda of America First, demanding that these Asian countries give the U.S. a better deal in terms of trade and access to investments, etc. In his speeches, he has made these statements. He actually distinguished the North Korean people from the regime by saying in public, quote, North Koreans are good people living under a bad regime.
Catherine, that sounds like the opening bid of a negotiation.
Well, we'll see, because as you know, in the past, when some of his deputies have made the actual policy orientation of trying to get dialogue with the North, when they've made that clear, he just turned around and slapped them via Twitter. So I don't know how long these positions might last. They could just be for show. I don't know how sincere they are and how much weight they'll have in terms of actual strategy with North Korea.
What has been the effect of the United States pulling back from international agreements like the Paris Climate Accords, like the Trans-Pacific Partnership, as the president goes to these leaders and says the United States still wants to do business?
I think the East Asian countries are trying to figure out how to work without the U.S., frankly. There are indicators that Japan and India may be considering an alliance, and that would certainly be one positioned against China. At the same time, Japan and China have been warming up to one another. China and South Korea very recently, right before the departure of Trump on his Asia tour, actually reconciled on this very thorny issue of THAAD, the U.S. anti-missile defense system that China has been really, really adamantly opposed to. So these Asians are looking out for their own interests to shore up their security and their economic positions.
The president is going to end this trip in the Philippines, meeting with the president there, Rodrigo Duterte. We have covered extensively on this show the extrajudicial crackdowns on drug users, drug dealers, the drug war in the Philippines. What message does it send to the world that the president of the United States is ending his trip in Manila?
He's going to end the trip in the Philippines that is headed by a thug, frankly, who has deliberately fawned admiration for Mr. Trump, and it's been it's been requited. Mr. Trump has saluted Mr. Duterte. So it's not surprising that he's ending on what he hopes to be a high note in the Philippines, which means that he really does not care about the extrajudicial killings. The Philippines, I don't even know if Mr. Trump knows, frankly, how hard the Filipinas and Filipinos have fought for democracy and human rights in their country.
Catherine Moon, political science professor at Wellesley College, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.